here, man. It's always fun to come hang out. And so I tell you what, today we are going to, we're going to talk about Thanksgiving today. And I realized Thanksgiving was last Thursday, but I actually on purpose held off on my Thanksgiving message until today. Because if you're like me, sometimes we get amped up for Thanksgiving. Okay, it's going to be Thanksgiving. Oh, I got to be thankful. Oh, we're going to get turkey and dressing and giblet gravy and pumpkin pie and sweet potato pie and all those things. And then somehow we kind of fall off into this holiday slump, grouchy, grumpy attitude, and we forget about our Thanksgiving. And I just want to say that I believe that Christians of all people, you and I, born-again believers in Jesus Christ, Thanksgiving should not be something that we just celebrate one day a year. Thanksgiving should be a part of who we are. It should be a part of our attitude. It should be a part of the way that we speak. And so I deliberately held off on this message till today so I could challenge you to continue to be thankful beyond the actual holiday of Thanksgiving. I'm going to tell you a story today. It's a story of my youngest son, Jesse Pate. I'm going to tell you a story about him. It's a Thanksgiving story. It's my favorite story of all Thanksgiving. Jesse was about 4 or 5 years old, and he attended a Mother's Day Out program in Abilene, Texas. It was on Tuesday. Will and I would get up. That's the day that we go to the sale barn, Abilene Livestock Auction. We would go, and on our way to the sale barn, we would drop Jesse off at Mother's Day Out. When the sale was over, we would go by and pick him up. So I tell you about me, I try really hard to spend lots of time with my family, lots of time with my wife and with my kids. And so when the boys were little, it was pre-Clara Lynn, I just had Will and Jesse. And we spent a lot of time driving around in the pickup. We spent a lot of time driving around, checking cattle, just doing what we do, driving down country roads. And so what we would do is we love to listen to music. How many of you love music? Can I hear you say a good amen? We loved music, and especially in those days, we loved to listen to Charlie Daniels. Come on, somebody. I mean, we loved Charlie Daniels. We would turn it on, we would crank it up, and our favorite song was "The Devil Went Down to Georgia." I mean, who don't love that kind of song right there? Devil talking trash, devil being a little bit prideful, and the devil getting his butt beat. Come on, somebody. We would turn the radio up really loud, and it would be something like this. The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal because he was in a bind. He was way behind. He was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young girl, saw it on the fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped him on a hickory stump and said, "Girl, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too, and if you care to take a dare, now I'll make a bet with you. Now, you play pretty good fiddle, Tubby, but give the devil his due. I bet this fiddle of gold against your soul to think I'm better than you." Tubby said, "I'll take your bet." And then fast forward to the end of the song. This was our favorite part. The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat. And he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Tubby's feet. Tubby said, "Devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a buck. I'm the best it's ever been." We would run. I mean, we would just roll them down. And while we were playing that, while we were driving down the road, cruising down the gravel roads, I played the piano on the dashboard. Come on, somebody. And at that time, Will played the air guitar over there, and Jesse played the air fiddle back there, right there. We just had fun. We acted silly. We just hung out as a family, and we laughed a whole lot. So that particular morning, we'd saddled our horses, loaded up in the trailer. Will and I took Jesse over there, dropped him off at Mother's Day Out. We went to the sale barn. We came back to pick him up, and his teacher met me at the door. And she said, "I just love that Jesse Pate." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah, he just makes me smile." She said, "He is something else." And I said, "Lady, you have no idea." She said that day, that was Thanksgiving, it was right around Thanksgiving, and they had a little exercise that they did in their classroom, and all the kids sat in a circle in the floor, Indian style, and they went around the circle, and all of the children expressed what they were thankful for. And she said, "You know, most kids had the typical answer, I'm thankful for my mom, I'm thankful for my dog, I'm thankful for my toys, I'm thankful for Jesus." And she said, it came Jesse Pate's turn. And he paused and looked at her a little bit apprehensively. And she said, go ahead, tell us, Jesse, what are you thankful for? And he said, Charlie Daniels. Like, that's my boy right there. And so I know that. I just want to ask you this. For many of us here today, that may seem like a funny little story. It may seem like a trivial little elementary little story about a 4 or 5 year old children, a 4 or 5 year old child. But I think if you and I would look at that a little bit deeper, we would see something very profound. We would see that a young mind, a 4 or 5 year old mind, was basically saying this: I am thankful for the experience that Charlie Daniels brings to me, my dad, my brother, and my mother. He was saying, I'm thankful for the little things. I'm thankful for the relationships that I have. I'm not thankful for things. I'm thankful for the people that are in my life and the experiences that I have shared. Let me ask you this question today. I wonder how many of us are missing out on the greatest things in life. I wonder how many of us are missing an attitude of gratitude and a heart of thankfulness because we're looking for the big things. We're looking for some more cattle. We're looking to climb the corporate ladder. We're looking for this when all the things that God has given us and the most important and most meaningful things are right around us every day. I wonder, are we missing those things? We look for this to bring joy. We look for this to bring happiness. If I could just get a spouse, if I could just have some children, if I could just get some money, if I could do one more thing, I wonder, could our lives be more full of joy? Could we experience more peace? Could we be more pleasurable to be around? Would it glorify God more if we just learn to be thankful for the little things that we seem to overlook a lot? Could we be better? Could we learn from this little 4 or 5 year old mind? The answer to that question, I think, is absolutely yes. Deep down inside of us, I understand life is tough. I understand some of you are experiencing pain and separation and depression. I understand things aren't going exactly the way you want to, but I believe that deep down inside of us, there is something that tells every one of us thankfulness is so important and so key to a happy life. To just be thankful. To further illustrate that, let me ask you this. How many have some kids? Let me see you raise your hand. And how many of you have ever been in this scenario? Your children are around somewhere. Maybe it's at church. Maybe it's at the rodeo or the dance. And someone comes up and gives your child something. Someone comes up at church and gives them a piece of candy. And you are standing back watching how your child is going to respond. And if your child does not say thank you in 1.637 seconds, you jump in and you go, now what do you say to them? Tell them thank you. Because we all know that just hearing those words, a heart and an attitude of gratitude being expressed, it does something. It changes the absolute atmosphere. The bottom line here is this: expressing thanks is good for everyone involved. How many of you know if you tell your wife, thank you for cooking that meal, baby girl, that makes her feel good. Come on, somebody. And it makes me feel good to say thank you to someone else. The point is this: we shouldn't just say that we feel grateful. We have to learn to express our gratefulness. We have to learn to say it, and we have to learn to show it. Because when we show thankfulness, when we show gratitude, it blesses the giver and it blesses the receiver as well. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Such a great scripture. Proverbs 17, 22. A cheerful heart is good medicine. How many of you know when we are thankful, we become cheerful all of a sudden? And a cheerful heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If we have a heart that is full of thankfulness to God, that will make our heart cheerful, and we will speak those things out. And how many know that's good medicine to everyone that's around? When we think about praise, when we think about thanksgiving, we express our heart, it is good medicine, and it's healing for those around us. Can I tell y'all this? I am much, and I'm just telling you, I get off into the ungrateful attitude sometimes. Can you say a good amen? Don't leave me hanging up here, y'all. I do that. It's sometimes it's human nature. We focus on what's not going right. We focus on what's wrong, and we focus on this, and it's sometimes easy to fall off into this negative, hateful, complaining, griping attitude. And I'll tell you this, I am much easier to be around when I am thankful. You are much easier to be around when you are thankful. You ever be around somebody gripes all the stinking time? All the time? Something like, I don't want to be around you. Like you suck the life out of me. Come on, somebody. You suck the life out of yourself. It ruins everything when we're so negative that way. And so today, I just want to have a little fun with you. I want to tell you, I want to give you a few examples of some things that I'm thankful for. I want to express that out loud to you today, hoping that it will be a stimulus and a catalyst for you on your way home from church or over your Sunday lunch or tonight watching the football game. I hope that what I say to you today will spark something in your life, and tonight or this afternoon, y'all will talk about what you're thankful for. Because it changes the atmosphere. I am thankful for our back porch. You go, a back porch, Cody? I got one too. Yeah, but it's mine, y'all. And so when we moved out to the country out here, we couldn't afford a back porch. Like, we just had steps going off the door. And our house is built on a little bit of an incline. And when it would rain, water and mud. We didn't even have any grass. Water and mud would just pile up out our back steps. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So we saved our money for 2 or 3 years, and we got this curb poured out there around where we wanted our back porch to be. And we were so excited until it rained, because you know what that curb did after it rained? It created a wading pool for us back there. And finally, after about 5 or 6 years, we saved our money and worked hard, and we got a big old slab poured, and it's our back porch back there. And I'm just telling you today, like, I love that back porch. I've drank a ton of coffee back here on that back porch. And I've watched the sunrise on that back porch, and I've heard the horses nicker, and I've heard the coyotes howl, and even Tubby come out there looking all cute and sexy in the morning sometime and sit out there and drink coffee with Tubby on the back porch out there. I have memories of Jennifer and of Tubby and Clara getting their fiddle out and playing for us on the back porch around a fire. We build a fire back there. Just little things, man, that don't make any difference, that don't cost anything at all. And then there's times when, you know what, we would just say, you know what, let's eat food out there, and we would dance. I'd say, you know what, girls, put the fiddles up, let's turn the speaker on, we'll play some Jay Cooker, and we'll two-step around the fire out there. That takes me back to this other moment when I was a child. When I was a child, we lived right next door to my grandparents, Nanny Jean and Granddaddy Donald. I'll never forget that little old home they had out there. There was a big bar right here. And on the back side of the bar was the kitchen, and over the bar was the living room. We had linoleum floors. Y'all remember them? And on Saturday night, my granddaddy Donald would turn hee-haw on at 7 o'clock. And you know what? My grandmother would be in the kitchen cooking, trying to get supper ready. And I remember one particular night, Ray Price came on there. He was singing Heartaches by the Number. Had about 5 fiddles, and they was playing. And out of that kitchen, my grandmother came, and she grabbed that chair and slid it on that linoleum floor out of the way. And I stood on my grandmother's feet and held her hand, and she two-stepped all around that living room over there to Ray Price. Precious moments and memories for me, things that I am thankful for that have helped me to be who I am this day. I'm thankful. You know what else I'm thankful for? I have 2 grown sons. They live in Abilene together. They don't live with me anymore. You know what I'm thankful for? That they randomly call me for no reason at all. What greater gift could you ask for? They call me. And when Will calls me, just be prepared. It's about 20 minutes of sitting on the phone saying absolutely nothing. I can't get him off the phone. And Jesse, the only time he calls is about 9:30 when I'm getting ready to go to bed at night. But nonetheless, I'm thankful. Speaking about my phone, this last week over Thanksgiving, we were looking for something, man. I don't remember. We were looking for a picture. We were looking for a video, something we were all discussing and talking about. And I got off in the weeds. How many of you have done that in your phone? And I start scrolling through old pictures. You want to be thankful? Get your smartphone out. You want to be thankful? Look at pictures from a year ago. Look at pictures from 2 years ago. Look at pictures when your children were little. Look at experiences that you had. I'm telling you, I'm sitting there in the weeds scrolling on my phone, which I never do, looking at old pictures, and thankfulness and gratitude comes back to my heart. Thankful, man. Those little bitty things. I got to tell you one more story, or maybe two more stories. I don't know. Things I'm thankful for. We grew up poor. I'm just telling you, we were. I don't want your pity. I'm not whining. I'm not griping. We were poor in money, but we were rich in spirit. Come on, somebody. And we lived in a trailer house in my grandmother and granddad's backyard, Nanny Jean and Granddaddy Donald. And we lived in an old trailer house, one of the most single wide, this long is from, you know, here to Holly over there and narrow like that. And I'm thankful for this, man. My mom would come wake me and my sister up in the morning. We went to public school, and my mom would come wake me and my sister up, and my mom would pull out one of these old quilts. Y'all remember them old quilts that your great-grandmama made? It wasn't one of them acrylic things that you buy down there at Walmart for $9.99. It was a lot of work and effort put into it. This one was red and white, and it had turtle designs on it. I don't know why, but, you know, you could put it on your skin. Them old quilts was cold for a minute. My mama would wake me and my sister up, and in that old trailer house, the heat ducting went under the floor and come up through a little bitty heater vent on the floor. My mom would wake us up, and my sister would lay on one side of the heater vent. I would lay on side of the other heater vent. We would take that red and white turtle that my quilt that my great-grandmother made and lay under there and get warm in the mornings. Just little moments, man. And that transferred over into when Jennifer and I bought this place out here in the country. We also lived in about a 45-year-old double-wide trailer. No central heat, no central air. A Dearborn in one end and a Dearborn in the other end. I ain't lying. I thought my grandparents were full of bull. But Jennifer, first of all, Jennifer was scared of fire. So every night we'd get it smoking hot in the house. And then she made me go turn them Dearborns off and we'd go get into bed. I ain't lying. I thought my grandparents was full of bull when they said they could see their breath coming up in the house. It happened in that trailer house. But early in the morning, I would get up and I'd go turn the Dearborns on. And please don't picture this in your mind, okay? But me and Will and Jesse would drink coffee in our whitey tidies standing by the Dearborn like this. Those little moments, man, they just make me be thankful for a fireplace and central heat and air. Can I hear a good amen? So many things we can be thankful for. We just have to learn. We have to learn to renew our minds, and we have to learn to focus on the things that we're thankful for. Just expressing all those things to you today, you laughed at my stories, and it made me feel good to tell those stories. Just expressing thankfulness causes my heart to be cheerful. Let me read you another scripture, Colossians 3, 15 through 17. Colossians 3, 15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let me ask you right quick. How many of you value just living in the peace of God? I'm not worried. I'm in the middle of the peace of God. Let the peace of God, let it rule in. Don't make it rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart. Whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you do, good or bad, whatever you do, easy or hard, whatever you do, I like it, I don't like it, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks through him to God the Father. I'm convinced our lives would be better if we learned to be thankful in all things. Could the amount of peace that is in our life, could it be directly related to us expressing thankfulness and thanksgiving to God? Rather than focus on what we did not get. 95%, and can I be real with y'all? 95% of the conversations that I have with people is they are mad because they didn't get what they wanted. And it didn't work out the way they wanted it to go. And it didn't work out the way they had dreamt it would work out when they were a child. That is a trap from the enemy, because the enemy gets us focused on what's wrong and what didn't go the way we want it to go. How many of you know a life focused on those things and that kind of attitude will suck the life right out of you? Let me take it another step. An attitude that has no thankfulness and a heart that only complains and gripes all the time about what we didn't get will not only suck the life out of us, it'll suck the life out of your spouse. It'll suck the life out of your kids. It'll suck the life out of you. When we start to be thankful in all we do it to the glory of God, and we're thankful, it will bring the peace of God back to our lives. The scripture says, admonish one another. Admonish one another. Singing songs and making joyful noises in your heart with thanksgiving. You ever been around somebody just always in a good mood? Maybe you haven't. I have. You ever been around somebody that's thankful? They're thankful for everything. They're thankful for the good stuff. They're thankful for the bad stuff. They have changed their heart and their attitude. They're thankful. You know what? It just makes you feel good. I'm going to make a statement right here, and I mean this with all of my heart. I'd rather be around a non-Christian that is thankful than a Christian who belly aches all the time. I'd rather be around somebody good. Let me tell you about another one of my grandparents, Granddaddy Red. Y'all heard me talk about Granddaddy Red before? Granddaddy Red, he just loved life. I mean, I saw my Granddaddy Red go through all these different seasons. He was a cowboy. He worked at a feedlot, and then he broke his hip, and he had to get two different surgeries on his hip, and he was disabled, and he moved from being a cowboy, and they bought a place at Breckenridge on the lake, and he ran a bait house. He caught minnows and sold minnows, and I just remember and he started getting congestive heart failure at the end of his life, and he died really young. But the one thing I remember about my granddad, sucker was always in a good mood. He never frowned. My Granddaddy Red smoked Winston Reds. Come on, somebody. Curl your toenails up with them things. But he smoked them old Winston Reds, and here's what my granddaddy did all the time. He whistled all the time. I see my granddad get on the horse. I saw my granddad getting minnows out. I saw my granddad in the hospital bed. He just whistled, and I remember that. And I was like, man, that just makes you feel good, because in his own way, it's like he was admonishing himself and admonishing others, singing hymns and songs and being thankful in his heart. He was just whistling while you work. And I got to tell you, like, I picked up that habit. Like, I whistle all the time. I whistle at home when I'm cooking. I whistle at home when we're doing this stuff. And here's the funny thing. When Jesse was a little boy, I hear him in his back room whistling back there. Nowadays, I hear Clara in her room in there, and I hear Clara just whistling, just cleaning her room. And I'm thinking, wow, that's cool, man. That's just awesome. And then I come up here to church, and I'm in my office back there, and I'm trying to study, and I'm trying to read, and I hear Connor whistling in his office in there. And then I hear Gigi, she whistles above everybody else. Her whistle kind of goes a little bit higher in her back. But I hear Gigi whistling, and even Cole. And Cole needs help with his attitude. I'm glad he picked up the whistling thing. Whistle, I mean, it just does something to be around someone that just has a smile on their face, that it just has a cheerful heart and is just thankful. You know, I really believe that Thanksgiving is contagious. It's contagious. It causes Jesse to whistle. It causes me to whistle. It causes Cole to whistle. And I just think when we start being thankful, let me ask you something. Look at me. Look. Dads, husbands, I wonder how the atmosphere in your home would change if you started to make up in your mind, I'm going to be thankful for my home and I'm going to be thankful for my wife. Even when I come home and she has rollers in her hair and a zip-up flannel onesie over there and supper ain't ready, I'm still going to be thankful for that woman. I wonder, I get it, kids drive you crazy. Adolescence hits. I get it, puberty hits. I get it, they get crazy sometimes. But what if you, Dad, made up in your mind, you know what? I'm not going to be negative about my kids. My children are a blessing from God, and God entrusted me to raise those kids up, and I am thankful for my sons, and I'm thankful for my daughters. I wonder what would happen, wives, if you made up in your mind, I'm going to be thankful for my husband, even when he doesn't put the lid down and when he doesn't carry the trash out. He's my man, and I loved him, and God brought us together. What if we started being thankful in our homes? I think it would be contagious, and it would change the atmosphere of our homes. Some of you have jobs, and your job sucks. And the people you work with suck. Can I hear a good amen? They're all negative. They're all mad. They're all angry. Well, guess what? You can't act like them because you're a blood-bought child of God, and you know that God is on the throne, and you know that life is good, and you know that every good and perfect gift that comes from the Father is from heaven up above. What if you went into your job and you went into your workplace and you said, I'm just going to be thankful about everything? I wonder if it might knock young people, school sucks. Can I hear a good amen? I knew I'd get some kind of amen today. I'm going to start preaching to these kids more often. But what if you, young person, made up your mind, I'm going to school. And you know what? I'm going to school, and I ain't better than nobody else, but I am a child of God, and God's been good to me. And what if you started being thankful for your old crabby teacher? And what if you started being thankful for the bully? And what if you started being thankful to learn how to read and write? It would change the atmosphere everywhere we go. And that's good preaching. I'm just saying, I don't know. Be thankful, man. It changes everything. Hebrews 13:15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of our lips that gives thanks to his name. The fruit of our lips. Let us continually let the thanks of God roll off our tongue, roll out of our mouth. I am thankful. I'm thankful for Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for turkey. I'm thankful for dry dressing. Come on, somebody. I'm thankful for that old mud hole in the backyard. I am thankful for these boots. I am thankful for what if it rolled off of our mouths the fruit that gives thankfulness to God everything we do. We have to learn to express it with our lips and our actions, and this flows from our heart. If you have nothing else to be thankful for, be thankful to God. Be thankful to God. Be thankful to God. You didn't get where you got by yourself. I didn't get where I got by myself. I didn't get the blessings I got because I'm cool and I know how to preach. You didn't get the things you got because you're a good cowboy. Every good and perfect gift comes from up above. It comes from God. And when we learn to say, God, I am thankful for everything, it's a game changer. How many of you ever been around, and I'm almost done, an ungrateful kid? A bratty, rotten, ungrateful, hateful, never satisfied, entitled, I deserve better child. And I'm like, I ain't giving you another thing. Every meal you cook is not any good. Every gift you give them is not good enough. Every experience isn't what it should be. They're ungrateful. And me as a father, I'm like, you're done. And I'll be real with you. Sometimes I wonder if God the Father doesn't look down at us and our griping and complaining and ungrateful attitudes and go, you know what? If you can't be thankful for what you got right now, I certainly can't bless you and give you anything else. Thankfulness. Conrad, worship team, Darren, whoever, which one of y'all singing? I don't care. Somebody come help me. Listen, I understand this. I understand life hurts. I understand there's different seasons. I understand there's different struggles. I go through them too. I understand things aren't perfect. I understand pain and regret and disappointment. But hear me on this. Thanksgiving and thankfulness is a tool that God has given us to rise above the problems and the struggles of this world. It's a tool. Last night, Claire wanted to take some bookshelves down from her room. I went and got a DeWalt screw gun. It was the tool that I used to take that shelf down with. Thanksgiving is a tool that God has given us. And if we'll take the tool of thanksgiving, we can take those shelves out of our life that hold regret and hold pain and hold ungratefulness, and we can remove them from our life, and it will change absolutely everything. The bottom line is this. being thankful and expressing thankfulness causes our heart to be cheerful. How many of you like the stories I just told a while ago? Let me hear you say a good amen. I liked telling them to you. It made my heart cheerful. It made your heart cheerful out of just thankfulness. And you know what that is? That's good medicine. That brings healing, thankfulness, and gratitude. It brings peace back to our lives. It's contagious. It urges others to be thankful as well. And you know what else it does? Honors God. It honors God. It really is the only healthy way to live. It's a daily choice. Look at me. Look, and I'm done. You got to choose it over and over again. You got to choose it multiple times a day. You got to choose it multiple times an hour. I refuse to fall into the trap that the enemy is setting for me to think that I'm a victim, to think that I deserve more, to think that life mistreated me, to think that God doesn't hear my prayers. I refuse to fall off into poor, pitiful me. I am blessed. I am a child of the Most High God. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was on the bottom, but now I am the top. I was a bastard child and had no family, but God adopted me into family. Now I cry, Abba Father. I have a future. I have a hope. I know the hope and the plans that God has for me. God has gone before me, and He has prepared a way, and He's going to knock over the gates that have been shut in front of me. If God be for me, who shall be against me? I got a wife. I got some kids. I'm alive. I'm breathing. I live in the greatest nation in the world. It's one nation under God. I got the best pastor in the world. I got the best church in the world. I got everything that I need. I refuse to fall off into an attitude of ungratitude. And I tell you what we're going to do to celebrate the attitude of gratitude today. We're going to close by celebrating Holy Communion. It's the foundation of our faith. It's why we do what we do. All of the singing, all of the preaching, and all the praying would be worth nothing without the broken body and the blood of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you honestly, I used to just take communion once, twice, three times a year. And a couple of months ago, the Lord convicted me. You need to take communion every month, Cody. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I don't want it to become routine for our people. I don't want it to just become something that we do because it's what we're supposed to do. And the Lord took me back to the scripture, and Jesus said, every time you eat this bread and drink this wine, do it in remembrance of me. Remember what Jesus did for you and I. And here's what the Lord said to me. It might not cause it to be a routine for people. It might remind them on a monthly basis of what really matters in life, and it might spark a heart of cheerfulness and a heart of thanksgiving in the people. So we're going to celebrate this communion today, and I'm going to ask you to do it in a way of thanksgiving. I want you to just begin right now to force yourself. No matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're going through, just force yourself to let thankful thoughts roll through your mind. Just let thankful thoughts roll through your mind. For a minute, just stop everything else. Stop the negative. Stop the hurt. Stop the pain. You can do that. We have the mind of Christ. Stop it. Let that thankfulness roll over in your mind, which will then go into your heart, and out of your heart flow the issues of life. Just be thankful. Just be thankful. Just be thankful. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Just be thankful. Start being thankful right now. And I want us to celebrate communion with an attitude of thankfulness. In a minute, we're going to come down and we'll celebrate communion, and somebody will hand you a piece of bread. And I'm going to challenge you to do something today. When somebody hands you a piece of bread and says, this is the body of Christ broken for you, you know what I want you to do? Even you quiet people, I want you to say, thank you, Lord. Express, let the fruit of your thankfulness roll off your lip. Don't say thank you, Cody, because Cody just bought cheap bread and handed it to you. Say thank you, God. Thank you, God. And then when you get that piece of bread, you'll step over in line and somebody will be holding a cup of wine. They'll say, the blood of Christ shed for you. You dunk your bread in that wine, and before you partake, just say, thank you, Lord. Express it. It doesn't have to be loud. Just do it as a catalyst, and speaking it out to try to get thankfulness moving in our hearts and our minds. The same night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He said, "Take, eat, my body broken for you. When you do this, remember me." After they got through eating, Jesus took the cup, filled it up. So this is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sin. Every time you taste that wine, remember me and remember what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. At the moment we celebrate today, I believe thankfulness is coming back to our hearts. So, Father, so men that are going to come serve communion, would you make your way on down? So, Father, I just thank you for today, and I thank you for this moment. Thank you for everything that this means to us, the broken body. Thank you for everything that it means to us, the shed blood of the only begotten Son of God. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would fall in this place. Move on our hearts. Let the attitude of gratitude rise back up. And let us say, thank you, God, for all that you've done. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet, and here's what I want to ask you to do. We got to have a little order because we're crowded. Two outside rows. Would you start at the back and come down the wall? There'll be men there to serve you there. You can walk back down, go to your seat. Two middle aisles, come down, start at the back, come down this aisle. Cole and I will serve you right here today with an attitude of gratitude. Let's celebrate Holy Communion.